Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 and 10 is our text this morning. Now, we saw last week, we began looking at this, and we were looking last week how that the Lord was sending a renewed man. When he sent Jonah was now vomited out from the fish's belly there on the dry land. He's changed. He's a renewed man. It was picturing a regenerated man. And so that was our focus last week, the first four verses. And now we'll look at the rest of the chapter and we'll see the effect of God's word now upon this people there in Nineveh. So I gave this outline of the chapter last week, you know, seeing how Jonah is a type of a born-again believer there. And there was an emphasis how that God sanctified Jonah for this work. He sanctified him for his own purpose. You know, Jonah originally believed that God was sending him because he's a prophet. And God needed his services to go to this people there and preach the word to them. But the Lord revealed to Jonah that I'm not sending you, Jonah. I don't need you because you're a prophet. I'm using you to carry my word. The people need my word. And I'm going to declare to them the truth. I'm going to give them light by my word. And you're just the earthen vessel that I'm going to use to send to them. And so that's why Jonah was sent there. And that's now the understanding he has when he comes to this people. Now, like Jonah, we all are learning this. We're all learning continually that we are the Lord's. We're not our own people. We're sanctified unto him. He's the one who sanctified us and has set us apart for his own use in his kingdom, right? And so we're learning that just like Jonah learned that. Now, the second part of the chapter here, what we'll see is Jonah is a type. Jonah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's raised from the dead. And like Christ, who when he rose from the dead, he spoke to his disciples. He spoke to a few of his disciples, and that few then went under the authority and power and proclaimed that word out to many, even out to all the world. That word went out, and it worked repentance and salvation in them that heard it with the ear of faith. And that's the picture that we have here in Jonah chapter 3, actually. So that's what I want to show you this morning. Now, I've titled this message, After the Resurrection. After the Resurrection. So we left off with verse 4. Let's look at that, Jonah 4:4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. All right, and so this now brings us to our text. He's preached this word. And what we have now, beginning in verse 5, is the effect that God wrought upon the people of Nineveh as a result of the preached word. Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So this is the result here. And it's a picture of the grace of God for these people in Nineveh there. You think about it, that we see the picture here because you have this people in Nineveh. And you can imagine they had their own form of worship. They had their own idol gods. They had their own holy men, right, that interpreted for them how to worship God. They had all these things, and yet here comes some foreigner preaching the word, declaring to them that God's going to overthrow their kingdom, and God worked a miracle of grace in their hearts so that they turned from everything they knew, right? And trusting in those things, and we're turned from that to believe God through this mediator that God had sent. They believe that this man is sent of God, and he's declaring to us the truth that we need to hear even now. And so that's a picture. That what we see there is repentance, turning from dead works that cannot save to the true and living God and his salvation in his Son Jesus Christ. And so it's an evidence of faith. They believed God. They believed him. They heard that word and believed this man's of God, and God sent him, and we need to hear it. And they were turned from everything they believed to trust what this man was saying concerning God and them. And so verse 5 was an overall just blanket declaration of what happened. But verse 6 now begins to break down the details that went into how we got to verse 5 there with that overall repentance among them all. Now verse 6 says, For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And as we read that, you can enter in and say, you know, that's a picture of grace worked in the heart of a believer. That's actually a picture. What we see this king doing, that's a picture for us of what the Lord does when he converts us by the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we all are running and living in our lying vanities. Right? We all have the things that we tell ourselves, as Jonah said, lying vanities. They that pursue those are forsaking their own mercy. And that's where we all are, just trusting in and hoping in our lying vanities. And yet, when the Lord turns us, he strips us of that self-sovereignty, right? That self-worth, that self-righteousness that we all have by nature, and we're stripped of those things. And that royal robe that we trust in, that we've made for ourselves, that gets laid aside. And what's put on us is this sackcloth, if you will. And that sackcloth is a picture of humility there, right? It's a picture of humility and being brought down low. And so the Lord does that for his people. Now, Jonah, as you can imagine, Jonah has gone into the city of Nineveh, and he's one single voice, one voice. And the scriptures say that it's a city of 60,000 people, an ancient city of 60,000 people, and takes about 3 days to get around it. Okay, it's a large city. But someone heard this man crying out. And all those 60,000 people, at least one person, like probably many people heard him, but one person heard him. And they said, this is important. This is crucial here. This is, our lives depend on what this man is saying here. And so that person brought word to the king. And the king and his princes, they further spread the word to all the inhabitants that were there in that city. And so the picture being given here is that just as Jonah is seen as a typical believer, right, who's now born again of Christ's seed, right, so believers hearing that word, right, we hear and are converted and turned and affected by the word, we then carry that same word out in this power and spirit of Christ. And we declare that gospel word to all, right? It goes out so that word starts spreading throughout the whole world. Well, Jonah here now is a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. And the reason why I say that is because Jonah rose from the dead. Right? He was raised from the dead. When he was vomited out of that big fish onto the dry land, it's a picture of him being delivered, raised from the dead. He was trapped there in that death, in that fish there. And Jonah was the sign given, right? He was a sign given to the people. And not just in the fact that he was buried for 3 days and 3 nights, but also that he rose from the dead. That's what that picture is, because that fish is a grave, if you will, which he would have been stuck in and unable to deliver himself from, but the Lord delivered him from it. He raised him from the dead. Well, Christ our Savior also rose from the grave. It couldn't hold him, and he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he went to his disciples, and he preached the truth to them. And Paul gives us a good summary in Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 23. And he says there, speaking of Christ, he said that Christ should suffer. And Jonah suffered, right? Jonah suffered when he was thrown into the wrath of God, into that sea of wrath. Jonah suffered, and he was troubled, and he sunk down there, down to the bottom, and was surrounded by the billows and the waves of the wrath of God, and then he was swallowed by that fish and held by that fish. And concerning Christ, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Well, Jonah did that as well. He first rose from the dead before he ever came to these people. Right? He had to first be delivered from death. He had to first rise from the dead before those people could hear this word and have this light and this word brought to them. And concerning Christ, that he should show light unto the people, right? Which would be the Jews, unto the people and to the Gentiles, he said, right? So the people are the Jews and then to the Gentiles as well, right? And that's what Jonah did. When he went into that city, right, and he began to cry out to them that judgment's coming, he was giving light to the people. He was preaching that word that God sent him to the people. Now, the people in Nineveh is a picture of the Jews, right? He's declaring that word to the Jews. And then the Gentiles are pictured in the herds, the flocks, and the ignorant beasts there in Nineveh. All right, so that's what they're picturing there in the Gentiles. Yeah, it's a lovely description of us, right? But that's what it is. So turn over to John 17, and I'll show you that later. It gives us that language there. But go over to John 17, and this is our Lord's Prayer. This is his high priestly prayer. And you'll see the relation. I mean, I'll point out the relation here to Jonah, all right, of what Christ says in his high priestly prayer. So John 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. So Christ prays, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." All right, so this sanctification, this is a major lesson for us in the book of Jonah. It's sanctification, not we ourselves sanctifying ourselves, but we see how that our God sanctifies us. He's going to turn us. We are justified by him. Well, we're also sanctified by our God. And it wasn't Jonah turning himself around. It was the Lord working wonderfully, doing marvelous spiritual things for Jonah to sanctify him, both physically, but also to teach him I'm not my own, to teach him his sanctification. Well, that's what we're also being taught. And that's why Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And that's what the Lord does. He sanctifies us through this preaching, right? We go out and we get, you know, we fall into our folly and sin, and the religion of this world is usually one of the first things enter our minds. Like, oh, what do I got to do to fix this now? Well, we're reminded by the gospel that Christ has already fixed this. Christ is my salvation. And he turns our hearts from being set on and loving this world, and he directs us back to him. So we're sanctified, just as Christ, our high priest, prayed. We're set apart for the Lord's use. Okay, now verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." And listen, verse 19. "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Jonah pictures that perfectly. He was first sanctified by the Lord, right? Christ sanctified himself, but Jonah was sanctified by the Lord. And we get that, right? Because Jonah had to first be sanctified by the Lord before he ever went to Nineveh and preached that word. Right? God had to separate him. God had to show him, you're not your own, you're mine. And you're going to do what I've set you to do. And so he had to be sanctified first. And so in that sense, he's a picture of Christ, though Christ sanctified himself. All right? So the Lord does this. Now, listen to this, because you can say, you know, we look at Jonah and we're like, yeah, he was sanctified. He was troubled greatly. He suffered greatly, as we saw in Jonah chapter 2, when he was thrown overboard and there bound in that fish's belly. But listen to this word concerning our Savior in Hebrews 5. We're going to come back to John 17, but in Hebrews 5, 7 through 9, we read, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, right? That's a good description of Jonah chapter 2. Jonah prayed and cried out to the Lord, and he was afraid. And he cried out to the only one that can deliver him from death. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He was sanctified by God in Christ. I mean, I wouldn't even speak like this if the scriptures didn't declare that Christ himself suffered and learned obedience as a son. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And that's what we have pictured here with Jonah. He's been sanctified of God. He's suffered and learned that God is holy and perfect, and he sent me now to preach this word, to bring this light to these people here. All right? And so, and it was a word which the people of Nineveh would obey. They would hear that word of truth, and they would obey it. They would believe God. All right? Now, back in John 17:20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Right? Just as our Lord, he rose from the dead, he spoke to the few who were apostles and appointed by God, and then they went out and spread that light and that word throughout all the world. And that's exactly what happened with Jonah. He was raised from the dead, sanctified by the Lord, having suffered, went to Nineveh, preached, someone heard it, carried that word to the king. And the king told his princes, you know, or they told the king and his princes, and then they believed, and then they also sent that word out into all of Nineveh. So you can see that same pattern. You know, they were blessed through their word. Not every all 60,000 in Nineveh heard Jonah, but they heard their word and they believed what was spoken. And then verse 21, that they also, John 17:21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so Nineveh believed that word preached. Right? They believed that this word came to us from a man sent of God. Whether they heard him personally or they heard it through the king and the prince's direction to them, that this is the word of God that's come. And they believed that that man was sent of God. That's why they turned from everything else they knew and believed. They were turned from it and believed that this man sent of God. And so it's a picture there that just like we believe that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ. And we've heard that word through them which heard the word and believed and preached and so on. That's how the Lord has purposed it, and we see his power in it. All right? So let's look back now at Jonah 3, verse 7 and 8. And he, the king, caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast, Jew and Gentile, be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And that's the repentance that our God works in us, right? Well, we cease eating at the trough of this world's food and what they say. We stop living on those things and we begin to feed upon Christ, his word. We feed on the word of God. We believe what God has said so that in Christ we eat of his flesh and we drink his blood. We're feasting upon him and we're forsaking the things of this world. And I say this because it's spiritual. It's a spiritual word. And even now we feed spiritually upon Christ. We're not feeding on what this world values and says is true. We're feeding on him who alone is valuable and true. He's our safety and our salvation and our hope, Christ himself. Right? He said it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Alright, so now being covered with humility, right? That sackcloth pictures that humility. And it what it pictures is Christ's righteous robe. Right? We laid aside our robes of glory. The king said, let everyone be clothed in sackcloth, just like he was there, right? Well, we too are we put aside our own earthly glory, our own earthly robes of honor and glory and self-righteousness, and we bear now that sackcloth, that humility, which is the robe of righteousness, which our Savior wove for us and wrought for us in his weakness. Right? Sackcloth is not something that we would want to put on our bodies, right? Because the flesh, it's uncomfortable to the flesh, but it's that righteousness of Christ that is our very acceptance with God, right? He's the one in whom we come and are presented before our God, and he accepts us, all right? And so being covered in Christ's blood and righteousness, that's the one in whom we now cry out mightily and hope, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Deliver me, Lord. And that's how we're turned from our dead works to the living God. And we're delivered in Christ himself. And God receives us for Christ's sake. So this was so of the Jews, the men, right, described as men, and of the Gentiles, which are those beasts and flocks and herds. All right. Now, and I say that, you know, think of Acts 10, where Peter is seeing a vision. And he sees a sheet let down, and in it are many animals, right? Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, right? Now to us, we think, well, that's common, that's unclean. I don't want to be compared to a beast. And yet the scriptures talk of us Gentiles as that, and right? And the Lord says, well, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Don't call it common. It's not. The Lord, that's what we're pictured of here in the scriptures, all right? Now, the king and the people of Nineveh, they bore fruits of repentance, right? Born in them by the Spirit of God. And it says, verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And there again is another picture of our salvation, our spiritual deliverance from dead works. All right. If you notice, what is it that they're hoping in? Are they hoping in their repentance? Are they hoping in what they're doing? Or are they hoping in the mercy of God? All right. Read it again. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They weren't hoping in God having mercy because of their works, but they were hoping in the mercy and the grace of God. And so they believed the word, right? They heard what Jonah said, and they hoped that God sent this man, and they heard this mediator speak, and they believed him, and were hoping that now God would be merciful to them. And that's our hope, right? It's not in what we do that our hope is found, but our hope is in the grace and mercy of God in Christ, just as he's spoken to us in his word. All right, and so Paul speaks of this. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And that's what they were doing. They heard the word of Jonah, not as the word of a man, right, to compare with their own men, but as is in truth the word of God, and they were wrought upon by the Spirit and delivered from their death. All right, now, let's look at the repentance here in verse 10. So Jonah 3:10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Now, God's eternal will and purpose for them never changed. It never altered. That wasn't changed at all. But God worked repentance in them. His purpose toward them remained the same, but what the Lord is showing us there is that God's revealed will, his providence, if you will, was changed them. He changed them that he might be merciful to them. He worked repentance in them that he would not have to destroy them. All right? And so God provided that propitiatory sacrifice for them, pictured in Jonah. Right? Jonah was dealt with. Jonah was sacrificed and died and rose again, because if that didn't happen, those people would have perished anyway and never knew. They would never have heard the truth. They would never have heard the light and been turned from it. And so Jonah there pictures our Savior, who was sacrificed for us, even when we were in darkness and didn't know about it. And we, by him, by his sacrifice, his offering, we're delivered. That's why we have the light now. That's why God is gracious and merciful to us now, because of Christ, what he did. And that's what Jonah's picturing. He's made the sacrifice, and he died and rose again, that light would come to these people. All right. Now, concerning repentance being worked into people, the scriptures describe it elsewhere in Jeremiah. If you want to turn there, Jeremiah 18. Verse 7 through 10. The Lord says, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, and to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to build, and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So this voice is the preached word to the people, right? We're declaring the word of God in the preaching. And they that believe are said to be turned from their evil way, because they're obeying the voice of God, right? That's what's being pictured here for us. And that's what happened here with Nineveh. They heard that word and believed God. And the picture there, again, God himself hasn't been turned from his eternal purpose to do them good. It's in the revelation, right? The Lord speaks this word to us. He's declaring the gospel to us, and says, "They that believe on my Son, you that believe him and are turned and have faith in him and trust him, you shall be saved. Now, before that word comes, for all we know, we're dead sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, and there's no hope for us. But they that hear the word and believe do testify of the work of God, that God has determined to be gracious. God's eternal purpose didn't change toward them, but in providence we see now that he's turned them that he may be gracious to them. And that's really what's gone on in Nineveh. God always intended to be gracious to them, but they had to hear the word and they had to believe, and God worked that in them that he might repent providentially, externally, if you will, to do them good. And that's really what's occurring. God doesn't change his mind. It's only in the revelation that we see that his purpose is toward us is altered. And so that's why we preach the gospel and we declare the gospel, knowing full well that it's the remnant, according to the election of grace, that hears it and believes and is turned, and faith is revealed in their hearts. And so you that hear, it's not about, am I the elect? Am I the one for whom Christ died? I mean, we wonder that, but the question is, do you hear the voice of God? Do you believe him whom he sent, the one that I'm declaring to you? Do you believe Christ? Do you trust him? And that's the revelation of faith and the will of God in you, because you that hear it and have no hope, he gives you that hope and faith in Christ, and you do believe. And that's the repentance that if you will, outwardly it looks like God's determined to be gracious to you, but he always did determine to be gracious to you. So, even concerning repentance in Matthew 12:41, Christ said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, the greater than Jonas is here. And so I pray that you hear. There's nothing we can do. When the Lord determines, this world is going to be destroyed. And it'll be brought into judgment. But he's provided the Savior. He's provided salvation. And all who look to him shall be saved. And you that look to him will give God the glory and the praise, because the reason why you believe on him is by the grace and kindness and mercy of God toward you, whereby you believe.